begin, I want to release this vision that I saw. It was a vision I saw on March 11th about, I saw a highway. You know how in USA the highways, they have like this green big sign? I saw it fall down in a highway. And then I saw a black nail with its, what do you call it? Just like a black nail. And I believe that black nail that held up that sign fell. And that's how the sign fell down. And so as I was kept looking, I saw loads of big tree trunks in the back of a car, a truck that was literally driving on the street, which was what was going to be delivered to a place. And then as I kept looking, I saw that it was in traffic that this thing happened. And I saw clouds and light. So I saw a panoramic vision from the top after I saw the different images. And then I was praying about it. It was during the daytime, those visions. And so I was asking the Lord, where is this thing going to happen? And he highlighted to me Utah. So I was like, okay, God, I need to pray about this. So I want you to pray as well. These visions were like series of different visions in the same minute that it happened. And I think this God, you know, letting us know that this sign is going to fall because there's a nail that was going to get loose and cause that sign to fall. Imagine that big sign falling down and hitting somebody. That could cause somebody to be hurt. It could literally cause somebody to die. It can cause an accident, right? And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we cancel that assignment of the enemy. I ask you now to strengthen that nail so that that sign doesn't fall to the ground. I pray, God, that you will give those that take care of the highway and byways some type of desire and unction to go and check up on these signs, that they will be able to be cautious of it and go and check on it, so that anyone that's passing by will not get hurt and will not lose their life, or something bad will not happen. And so we pray and seal this with the blood of Jesus. We do pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, guys. Good evening. Good day. This is Bernice. Thank you so much for tuning into Devoted today. I felt this word of encouragement. I just wanted to encourage, to release an encouragement. I felt during my time with the Lord this week, I've just been feeling this sadness, just this, you know, sorrow, just morose feeling that I've been feeling. And today, I literally, in my time with God, I just let the prophetic worship music just play, and I just cried. I just really cried, and I didn't even know what I was crying about, honestly. But then as I was crying, God was really speaking to me and ministering to me, and I realized that he was like, you know, I was like, Lord, I don't even know what I need. Like, I know what I need, but in this moment, I don't even know what I'm crying about. And I realized that I was crying because I lost my joy. And God took me on a little journey to show me different times that I lost joy. Because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Excuse the background. There's a difference between joy and happiness, right? And I was like, okay, God, give me back my joy. And he said, joy is a fruit. You already have it inside of you. You just need to cultivate it. And I'm like, okay, God, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. And he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible verse that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That when he's joyful, I will be having strength to be also joyful. That will be the strength that will help me to also cultivate that. And in class yesterday, I got such a powerful prophetic word from one of my classmates. And it was an on time word, because during this week, I've been feeling certain things have happened, and I was just really feeling down. And the Lord has been just bringing people around to just encourage me and motivate me. And I want to, you know, share that encouragement to somebody, because sometimes people will come and encourage you. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, right? Because we see in the Word of God, in the book of 1 Samuel 36, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people speak of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his own, for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I can attest to this, because there are times in life where you feel stoned by words of people who don't even know you, by actions of people who don't even know you, don't even say hi to you, but they have so much to say and so much to do against you. And you have to literally encourage yourself, you know, and especially if God has sent you to a specific place and you have that, you know, experience with those type of people, you want to be like a Jonah and leave. But then you're like, no, God has me here for a reason, so let me just stay, you know, because if you don't stay, he will send a fish to swallow you. And we don't want that, right? And so you got to be obedient. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So you got to fear God and do what he tells you to do and go where he tells you to go, even if you have to encourage yourself. There are times where I have to literally encourage myself before I step into certain places. Then the majority of the time, I don't want to be there because of the certain situations that I'm experiencing, you know, there. But then I realized that if God wants me there, then he's already there. And he let me know today that I lost my joy in certain relationships that I had, literally distorted it and took it away in some way. So in this journey, I have been starting today, I'm trying to figure out how to really receive my joy again. I always used to be very bubbly growing up, very, very bubbly person. But you know, life experiences can really cause you to just be to yourself, you know? And so I just wanted to encourage somebody with something that the Lord led me to. And he's showing me Psalms 23 right now, that he is indeed our shepherd, that we will not want. There's nothing that we don't, that, you know, God wouldn't give us if we need it, you know, because he gave us his son. So if he gave us his son, then that means that anything that we need, he will give it to us. So I want you to open to Psalms 23. That was not part of my message, but as I'm talking, the Lord showed me Psalms 23. So let's just open to that part. In this season of my life, God has me reading the book of Daniel. I started reading the book of Daniel. Well, he kept showing it to me. The little kids that I teach, they are, God uses them to talk to me. Like every Sunday, one of the kid brought the book of Daniel. I was sitting there playing with one of the kids, and the other child literally brought the book of Daniel to me, and she just laid it right in front of me. And I was like, okay, God. Because the day before that, I was at a healing service at one of my churches that I go to, and the pastor was preaching, and as he was preaching, I literally opened, it was Saturday, I opened to the book of Daniel, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'll read the book of Daniel. And then the next day, Sunday, when I was teaching the kids at
my other church, literally the child brought that book to me, the book of Daniel, which is a story, one of the storybooks that they read, and put it right in front of me. And so I'm reading about the book of Daniel. So if you feel that the Lord is leading you to read the book of Daniel, I really encourage you to do that. When God does that to me, confirm it many times to read a certain book in the Bible. I think it's not just for me, you know. So I hope that you will be able to also have time to just study it and glean from it. So I want you to just get your Bible and let's just go through Psalms 23, because that's what God showed me when I started to talk. So I want to encourage you with Psalms 23, because the Lord knows your battles. He knows it before it happens. He knows the details of it before it even happens. Sometimes He will warn you. Sometimes He'll prepare your heart for it, you know. But He knows all your battles. But I want to encourage you with Psalms 23. I'd encourage you with 1 Samuel about David encouraging himself. You have to use the word of God to encourage yourself. Many times, I'm a person who's really introverted now in my life, that I'm in my 30s. Before then, in my 20s, I was very extroverted until I experienced certain uncomfortable situations, and I'm like, you know what, let me just keep to myself. But I know that in this season, God wants me to just really step out and be more open. You know, I have an acting gift. I'm able to act. I've acted in different type of plays, in different churches. So I know how to pretend. Trust me, I can come to a room and be as bubbly and extroverted as I want to. But I don't want to be acting in my real life, you know? I don't want to pretend, come and be like, oh, hi, you know. No, I want to be authentic. And so majority of the time, I'm sitting there and quiet, you know. That's just how I am in this season of my life. But I believe that when the Lord helps me to cultivate that joy that I had again, I'll be able to step into that season of being more extroverted than I am. And I believe that there are people who might be introverted like me. When it comes to ministry, when I'm praying on people, prophesying, interacting with people in ministry, I'm very extroverted. Like, but when I'm sitting there and nothing happening, I'm just sitting there. But when, you know, I have to preach, I'm very extra. I don't know how I become extroverted, but it happens. But when I'm just waiting, I just sit there and just quietly just either meditate on a word or look on my phone to just look at emails or just, you know, read the Bible. But I believe that this is a season that the Lord really wants to stretch me in that area of just being more hi, you know, in people's faces, like hello, you know. So if you're somebody like me, it's okay. There's seasons for everything, right? There's a journey, you know. I saw today on Instagram, somebody had something. I saw.
Can you feel it? Can you sense it? The King of Glory is here. Can you feel it? Can you see him? King of Glory is here. I can feel it. I can sense it. The King of Glory is here. I can feel it. I can see him. The King of Glory is here. Yeah.
surrounded with open and cloud of witness, cheering us on, cheering us on, with open and cloud of witnesses, cheering us on, cheering us on. You are not alone. The spirit of Abel is here. You are not alone. The spirit of Enoch is here. Emmy McPherson, Wesley in the house, Kenneth Hagee, Godfrey Cooper, Ayo Kabalala, Father Abraham, hey, Joshua, Elijah, because when he comes back, he's coming in the spirit of Moses.
I saw this post on Instagram. It said, somebody posted it about relationship. It said, I'm not dating again until God himself come sit on my bed and say, my homeboy trying to talk to you. I think it's so funny, right?
He said, my homeboy trying to talk to you. Somebody's trying to holler at you. And I thought that was hilarious, because sometimes in life, we just want God to come and sit and be like, okay, this is how this is going to, you know, play out. But that's what spending time with the Lord is. When you sit at his feet and really quietly and say nothing for a while, let the prophetic worship just marinate through the atmosphere, you will start to really hear the deepness of God. Because today, my prayer time, I said barely nothing. I just let my prophetic worship just play. And that's when the Lord was like, I need you to weep. I need you to really let it out. And I had to really say, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I didn't know I had to really release a lot of things. I was crying. I was like, why am I crying? Right? Sometimes encouraging yourself is literally forgiving people that you might never hear them say, I'm sorry. Forgiving leaders, forgiving your family, forgiving ex-boyfriends, forgiving even yourself, right? Sometimes encouraging yourself is literally letting certain things go and say, you know, well, Lord, if it's for me, great. If it's not, I know you have something better. Because I remember one time the Lord, I got into a very horrible accident right after I met Benny Hinn at a conference. The Lord was talking to me about going to that specific conference. And I went to the conference. A lot of things tried to stop me from going, but I did. And I didn't really think I was ever going to meet him in person. Like, I thought I was just going to be... Normally, I sit at the back when I go to... I don't know why this noise is being made during this time, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Anyway, normally when I go to, you know, an event, I just sit at the back. I like to sit at the back, not because I want to just sit at the back, but I like to really be able to, like, just experience the whole thing from there. Anyway, so I sat there and I'm like, I never thought I would ever meet this man in person or really shake his hand or be even close next to him. When I meet generals, I don't like to just approach them. I want God to be the one to make the first meeting, you know, that first interaction. I want God to be the one to make it happen, you know. And so with the Benny Hinn conference, I literally got a free ticket. I'm not going to go into details of how that happened, but I literally got a free entry. The leader of the conference was like, you can come in for free, it's okay. And I was like, oh my goodness, the Lord blessed me. The Lord was like, I need you to go. I'm like, okay, I will go. And I got a free ticket to go in. When I went in, you know, it's a lot of prophets, apostles, faithful ministers, and all of that. I went inside at the back, sitting there worshiping. The atmosphere was so strong. And then he called for people who are in the fivefold, and you know, I'm in the fivefold already, praise the Lord. So I went up, and he put his hand over us and literally prayed fire of God over us. Literally, like when you step on the stage, oh my gosh, the anointing on there, the glory is so heavy. As I was at the back, I could feel such a wind. It was a fire conference, but there was such a wind in the room, in the realm of the spirit, that the next day he preached about wind. I was like, Lord, I know this is a fire conference, but I feel wind everywhere. I felt such a wind of God in that room. It was such a, I mean, when he touches you, you are not done being imparted upon. After I left the stage, I was still feeling the fire of God and the wind of God upon me. I had to literally go back there and just, you know, lay on the floor and just receive all that God wanted me to receive. Right after that, the next day, I had an accident. Literally totaled my car. And the Lord, in a way, was, you know, preparing me for that. Literally totaled my car completely. My car was completely totaled. I went home. I cried. I'm like, God, why? And he said, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. I had a car that was old, and the Lord wanted to bless me with something better, right? And so to be able to get the new, you got to get rid of the old. Many people, even myself, I'm included. There are many times where God would would say, Bernice, I want you to go get this job. And I'm like, okay, God, you give me the job and then I will leave. He's like, no, I want you to leave and then go get this job. Right? There are many times where God has said, I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to this, do this and do that. You know, many times we want to hold on to what we have in the past and get what's new right in front of us. You cannot. It's like a man trying to date. You like, for example, if a guy, and I believe men do this most of the time, but anyway, if a guy, it's like, you know, maybe he's dating somebody and he meets somebody that he thinks that is his wife. Majority of the time, men would just like, you know, date the other woman for a while and then try and talk to the other lady, and if the other lady says okay, then he leaves her to be with her. But that's how men are. And I remember one thing that Steve Harvey was talking about how he had a car that was old in his parking lot, and every day he would be praying, God, give me a new car. And his mother or his grandmother told him, hey, you're praying for God to give you a new car, but you've not made space for that new car. You still have your old car in that parking spot. So how are you going to put a new car? If God gave you a new car right now, how are you going to put that? You're going to just move the car and put that there? He's like, yeah. And the grandmother, the mother told him, that's not how God works. He wants to see your faith. Can you remove that old car and say, Lord, I don't have a car. Can you bless me with a new car? That he will be able to give you what you need. So he's looking for your faith. You know, sometimes encouraging yourself is saying, Lord, I'm going to let go of the old and receive the new. Because you cannot put new wine in old wineskin, right? You cannot put new wine in old wineskin. So sometimes encouraging yourself is saying, making up your mind, you're going to let go of the old to receive the new. And majority of the time, that's how God is. If you look in the Word of God, what did he tell Abraham? Leave everything and go. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Many times, whenever I get comfortable in a place, when God tells me, move here, and I get comfortable and I make friends and I have family, you know, I have this, and I'm like, yeah, okay, comfortability, great. Everything is good. Praise the Lord. And he's like, okay, now it's time to leave. I'm like, wait, what? I just settled. He's like, it's time to go. So sometimes God is looking for your faith. To say, hey, I trust you. That is your encouragement. Telling the Lord, I trust you. I don't know what you're doing. Majority of the time, I might see little bits of it, but I don't know everything that you're doing. But I trust you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. But in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and you will direct my steps. Some steps I don't want to take. Some steps I don't like it. Right? Can we be true here with the Lord? Some steps I want to skip. But I have to take those steps. You think Jesus having the Pharisees talking about him was a step he wanted to take, or even Judas, you know, betraying was a step he wanted to take? No, nobody wanted that. But he had to endure that. There are times where even myself, when I had my women's ministry in Maryland, I knew people in my ministry that were talking about me, gossiping about me. But you know what God told me? I want you to give them the platform to preach on anything they need to preach on. And I'm like, Lord, but they were saying this. I'm like, he's like, no, I want you to give them your platform to preach the word of the Lord. And what do? I'm like, hey, can you teach, you know, this week? And I'll take a step and I'll let them teach. What was God showing me? God was showing me how to bless my enemies. Sometimes encouraging yourself from what people have done against you or said against you is blessing those that intentionally has hurt you. I remember I was listening to a sermon by Joyce Myers, and she was talking about how before she stepped into ministry, there were a lot of women in her group that were really chastising her. Even the church that she was at, she was like, she told the pastor she's called to go preach. And at that time, women didn't really preach. You know, she was a forerunner. And so she got a lot of backlash. People were talking about her. Even the women in her ministry, in her little circle of Bible study, were talking about her. And God told her, go and buy some nice things for them and bless them. sometimes encouraging yourself is blessing those that have intentionally, blessing those that have intentionally hurt you or said things about you. In this week, encouraging myself was God literally telling me, Bernice, I want you, which was like on Monday, he was like, Bernice, I want you to really dress up. Because I'm like, you know, when you feel down, you don't really want to like look nice. So he's like, I want you to dress up. I want you to look nice. I want you to put on your favorite color, which is orange. I like orange. I like bright colors. He's like, I want you to put on your nice favorite color. Go get you a nice purse, because you do need a purse, a new purse. And I went out and I got myself nice. I felt good. I felt really happy inside. I might not have expressed it out, but I felt really good internally. So sometimes encouraging yourself is loving on yourself, you know, doing something for yourself, speaking well of yourself, you know, really doing things that are gonna motivate you, things that you like. I had to put on my favorite color. Sometimes when I don't feel good inside, I just put on my favorite colors. I'm like, you know, my orange dress, so I put on something that I really like. I just put it on to encourage myself to really feel motivated and, you know, feel good. So God wanna encourage someone, and I did not think about something through until now, but with the words that I shared, I want you to know, even with my car, you know, being totaled, what was it, August of last year? August of last year. It was all God's plan. Like I don't think it was his way of telling me, Bernice, in order to receive the new, you have to let go of the old. And I literally had to move from where I was living to a new place, right? And so sometimes things are a little shaky in your life because God is trying to elevate you, give you better than what you had, literally better than what you had, right? I don't miss the car I had, right? I don't miss it because God knows how to bless you with better. So maybe there might be something in your life that God is trying to replace. Maybe there is something that God want to encourage you with, you know, or try to help you to replace. I think that many times in my life, God has told me to do some crazy things. Crazy things, like, you know, quit this job. I quit the job and I'm like, okay, what am I going to eat? He's like, wait, I will give you what you need. And literally, I get what I need. You know, I feel like right now, I'm going to prophesy to somebody. There's a job that God want to give you. But if you don't leave the job that you have, you cannot get the one that he wants you to have. Because it takes faith to be able to get that new job. Because the faith that you're going to have to get that new job is the same faith you need to sustain that job. And so he's trying to cultivate within you that type of faith that you need. Okay? So, encouraging yourself is having faith in God and saying, Lord, I don't know what you have for me here. I don't know everything you have for me here, but I know that it's good. And because I know that it's good, I know that you're good, I'm going to just believe that all things work together. Romans 8:28, right? And so I want us to just look at Psalms 23, and then we're going to end, because I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to talk about today. So Psalms 23, the Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Let's pause right here. The Lord is my shepherd. To encourage yourself, you have to know that you have a father that will never fail to give you what you want. Excuse the background noise. He would never not give you what you want. If he gave you his son, his only son, he will give you everything you need. I kid you not. Even if you don't have money for food, he will give it to you. You don't have something. If God has said something is yours, it will always be yours in the right time. The logos, the rhema time. Okay? Never stand on your own understanding and try to make it happen. Don't be Abraham and Sarah. Alright? Just let God do it. If he says it, something is yours, if he said somebody has to give you something, or you know, somebody belongs in your life or whatever, just know that he's gonna do it in his timing. You know, sometimes we want to let things happen very fast. Like I want, you know, as women, when we date a guy, the last time I went on a date was in November of last year, 2023. You know, when we like a guy, we're like, oh great, okay, we like a guy, we think, you know, we go fast in our mind. We are picking out wedding gowns and wedding colors, and he's probably like thinking, do I even like this person, or you know, do I even see myself years from now with this person? Can this person help me build what God is calling me to build? You know, men's brain are different from our brain. We are thinking about flowers, what color we're gonna pick up, right? Going on Pinterest, like, okay, how our baby's gonna look like, right? We're thinking about the home stuff, but he's thinking more of like the long-term stuff, right? And so if, I don't know why I had to say that, I just wanted to remind somebody, if God says somebody belongs to you in your life, somebody's yours, it's gonna happen in his right timing, right? And so I said, I shall not want. You don't have to want anything, because if God wants something for you, not heaven nor earth, not even yourself can stop it. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, right? That's where God wanted Jonah. So if Jonah could not stop himself from going to Nineveh, what makes you think you can stop God's plans? He will make it happen right in your face, right? So don't have a, of course it's okay to want something or need something, but don't let it cause you to feel like God cannot make it happen for you. He has blown my mind in so many ways. That's why I don't force myself on people. Like I'm not somebody that like to just go, you know, approach people. Even when the Lord was telling me about a certain person that I needed to have therapy with, like do some therapy with the person. The person needed therapy, and I needed to counsel the person years ago. I told the Lord, okay, lead the person to me. Lead her to me so that I can, you know, listen to her issues and help her out. And literally, 2 days later, God led her to me. She texted me, and I knew why she texted. When I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. I was like, okay, God, I will, you know, listen to her and pray with her and help her with her issues. So for me, I like to let God do, you know, connect me with people. And even cause them to reach out to me, or me to reach out. I like him to do it, because when he does it, it's beautiful, right? So don't be desperate. Just let God do it. Let God handle it, okay? And leave it in his hands. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You have to cooperate. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. God makes you to lie down in green pastures. Today, I laid down in green pastures. I cried for my prayer time with the Lord. That's all I did, was lay down and cry and let him talk to me. So you have to make him do it. It's a two-part thing, right? He's not going to force you. It doesn't say he forces you to lie down in green pastures, but he makes you, right? You have to obey to do it. I mean, he can slay you down. He can cause you to be slain in the spirit, right? But he wants to be in partnership. God loves partnership. He leads me beside the still waters. The still waters. One of the prophetic words I got this week was, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I love that verse, because that verse ministered to me. This is, I've even heard Apostle... Oh gosh, he's a Nigerian apostle in England. He's really well known. He wore dreads. gosh, I forgot his name. But he wore dreads. The first time he prophesied to me was on Clubhouse, and he kept referencing, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, out of your belly. And I felt that. Even my hand is on fire right now. I felt that. So God wants us to, he wants to lead you beside still waters. Still waters is him, his Holy Spirit, out of your belly flowing living water. That is his living water, right? That just nourishes you, because the Bible says that what husbands are supposed to wash their wives with the water. And God is our husband before we meet our husband, right? My ear is on fire right now, because God is. He's our husband before we meet our husband. And so the water, the stillness of the water, is the word of God. He restores my soul. Every time you go before the Lord, this is how you encourage yourself. You let him encourage you. This is what God is doing. He's encouraging you, right? He's making you lay down to be, you know, peaceful and just lay down your burdens, right? He's making you to have still waters around you to basically bask you and wash you of all the worries and the torment and all the things that you're going through, right? And he restores your soul. That's what it means to be renewed. It means to be encouraged, is that your soul feels better. After I cried, my soul was good. I felt peace after I let it out. I had to weep. Sometimes people think, you know, getting a prophetic word is great, but also weeping is a prophetic word. Jesus wept. Sometimes you have to let it out, right? If you bottle it in, I literally had to let it out. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is the one that orchestrates our lives, right? He leads us. His ways are not our ways, right? And so sometimes in order for you to encourage yourself is to allow God to lead you. Maybe you've not had encouragement because you're trying to lead yourself, right? But if you allow God to lead you for his name's sake, right? You then feel encouraged, because you're like, okay, I'm not the one that's driving this car. It's God. It's God that's driving this car. There are times where I've had in my dreams where, you know, I'll be driving in dreams and I'm like, okay, I know that God is with me here. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel encouraged. 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is really packed. Because you will get through some valleys of the shadow of death. Everybody has been through some valleys. Not literally death, but it could have killed you. Some relationship that broke your heart could have killed you. Some uncomfortable situation, even the accident I had, literally could have killed. Like that accident, I should have come out with some broken bones from that accident I had. But I didn't. I came out walking. Everything good. Nothing broke. I didn't have to go to the hospital. Well, I did go to the hospital because one of my friends, he was like, you need to go and get checked out. He was like, I'll drive you there. You need to go get checked out. So he drove me to the hospital just so I can just get an x-ray. So I can just be like, okay, everything is good. I already knew everything was good, but just to just be like, okay, sound mind. All right, let me just do this. So he drove me to the hospital and I got an x-ray. But there are some shadows of death that you might have to go through. Some of you might not have, you know, some situation that are physical. It might be emotional. Things that people might say that are shadows of death. Words hurt more than anything. I've realized that. And words said about you, especially in place that you're supposed to feel the love of God, like in the church, can hurt worse than words said about you at a job or in community, or even by strangers you don't know. All right, so basically, you have some shadow of death, but then it says what? Fear no evil. That's an encouragement. Fear no evil, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the fear of other things, right? You have to fear God and not the enemy. The Bible says that there's no fear in love. right? Who's ever been in love? You don't fear when you're in love, right? You don't fear when you are dating somebody. I mean, if the person is beating you, then yeah, you do fear. But when you think about going on a date, the last time I went on a date was November with this guy. There was no fear. It was joyful. We went to dinner, went to the movies. It was good. There was joy. There was fun times, right? I wouldn't say joy. There was like laughter. But it was a good time, right? So you have to remember yourself that you are a child of God, that in every situation there might be shadows of death of things at your workplace, at church, at your community and your family, your friendship, your dating life, whatever it is, right? If you have kids, but you have to remember that God is with you, so you have no fear, right? God is reminding me of when he motivated David. I am with you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid, for I am with you wherever you go. I am with you. Not before you, but I'm with you. I'm stepping step by step with you, right? I will fear no evil. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that. You have to literally tell yourself that, because for me personally, when I was growing up, when I was a little girl, I'm African. I'm Ghanaian. Ghanaian parents are different. they raise up your kids differently than other families. And when I was growing up, my dad was very, I would say abusive. If you look at it from the lens of USA, he was very abusive. If I brought home bad grade, he will literally take the bulb out of a room and lock me in there. And I was like a little girl. And every little girl is afraid of the dark, right? And so for many years of my life, I literally have to sleep with a light on. Because as I was little, he would punish me by putting me in a room with no light. And I would cry myself to sleep, literally cry myself to sleep, screaming, crying myself to sleep. Because every child is afraid of the dark, because they think there's like, you know, imagination is wild when you're a kid, right? And so I literally had to sleep with a nightlight, even when I was in my 30s, early 30s. Not until, you know, my mid-30s, but early 30s is when I stopped doing that. It was like, okay, God has healed me from sleeping with the nightlight. So it was a time where I'm able to just turn it off and just sleep. And that's electricity, like you're wasting money, right? But it's because of what I've experienced, so that has caused me to have that mindset. And so I had to literally tell myself, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. For God is with me, right? So whatever situation you're going through, your encouragement might be to tell yourself out loud, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? There's a difference between a rod and a staff. A rod is used to beat. A staff is used to draw. If you've ever seen a shepherd, they have a rod. The rod is the bottom part of the shepherd's staff. And then the top part is the curve of the staff. The rod is used to punish, like to, you know, beat the sheep. Like, hey, don't do that. And the staff is used to draw the sheep to the shepherd. And so God loves us, so he chastises us. But he does it in love. God has always, many times he's chastised me. Like, hey, don't do that. You know, do this, do that. But he does it in love. And that's part of the reason why I spend so much time with the Lord. And I see him as my father, because he knows how to discipline me well without hurting me, right? And they comfort you, both of them. Even when God uses a rod, it still comforts you, because he does it in love and in peace, that you don't even feel like you're being punished, right? And of course, the staff, they comfort us, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Everybody want that verse for themselves. Yes, God is going to prepare a table before me in the presence of you. You are my enemy, blah, 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 whatever. No, listen, for him to prepare a table, you got to have enemies. Nobody want enemies, but everybody want a table. Ooh, you need enemies at the table. Okay, can you dine with your Peters who deny you 3 times? Can you eat with your Judases? Can you wash Judas's feet knowing he's gonna betray you? I remember a time the Lord literally was talking to me about prophesying. I feel my ear on fire, prophesying to my ex boyfriend. And I was like, the devil is a liar. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. No, 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 no. And I would remember his phone number. You know those times, back in those times when you remember people's phone number, right? I'm aging myself. But I remembered the middle part of his phone number. And I was like, Lord, I don't even remember his phone number anymore. So I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, this is not, And literally, I kid you not, within 3 minutes, his whole phone number came back into my remembrance. All of it, even all of it. I was like, Lord, I don't think this is you. No. And then I saw him send me something in my email. And I was like, Lord, I don't know. Because in my mind, he was an enemy. Right? But God was trying to use my prophetic gift to bless him, to sit at my prophetic table, basically. One thing about me, God has called, in this season of my life, God has shown me how to quickly forgive people and how to bless my enemies. If I give you a prophetic word, that is me telling you I love you. Me telling you I love you. And that's God telling you he loves you, but if I give you a prophetic word, that's me telling you I love you. I really care and love you. Because there are times when God will tell me to go prophesy. And, you know, not just like, oh, just because I give you a prophetic word, you're my enemy. No, 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 no. But if you know you are my enemy and I give you a prophetic word, you should know I love you. But, you know, there are times where God has told me, hey, go prophesy on that person. And I'm like, God, I don't like that person. Blah, 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 blah. And he'll keep talking to me. I need you to go prophesy. Leave the message to the person. Give the person the message. Give it to them. And then I'm like, okay, I will do it. So there are times where you will have God prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And that's him encouraging you. Like, hey, I'm sitting your enemies, like Joseph. He's reminding me of Joseph right now. Right? Joseph, the weep of Joseph was so strong, even when he was not in front of his brothers, because that was a lot of experiences, things that he had to go through that finally came out of him. The weep of Joseph was strong because it was history coming out of him. It was history coming out of him, his life coming out of him, the bad part of his life coming out of him. Joseph had to literally sit his brothers, who were his enemies in the past, but throughout the years that he's experienced things, that he was able to finally love on his brothers. I think that the Lord strategically caused Joseph to meet his enemies, who are his brothers, to love on them after he got married. Because when his brothers came, Joseph has a wife. Joseph had 2 kids, right? Maybe, I don't know how many, 2 kids. I believe God did that strategically, because I believe that Joseph falling in love, getting married, was a healing for Joseph. I think it was something that Joseph desired for himself, especially seeing what Potiphar's wife did to him, to be somebody walking, you know. I mean, think about it, Joseph being in a church, and everybody falsely labeled him as an adulterer, right? And he's not that, right? And everybody treated him like he was that. Joseph would not want to go to that place every day, but he has to, right? Because that's where he is. That's where God wants him. Joseph could have left in the nighttime and just went away, but he stayed because he had no choice, because God wanted him there. Imagine Joseph going about seeing everybody with family, everybody sitting next to their family, their wives, their kids, everybody, you know, sitting next to the people that they've known for years there. Everybody been able to be part of this group and that group. And Joseph just don't have nobody. He doesn't know anybody there. He just by himself. And the cupbearer and the baker are the ones that can understand part of his misery, because they too have been put where he is, right? So he has company now, but company that can understand him, not company that can judge him or falsely accuse him. And he was able to open up to the company because they were in the same situation as he was. Well, one of them. But I believe that God was strategic in healing Joseph, because he knew that Joseph needed to feel love to release love. Joseph needed to be in love to release love. I mean, I don't think that Joseph would have been able to embrace his brothers if he wasn't married with kids. I don't think so. Because the Bible talks about how he was married and he had two kids, right? I don't think Joseph would have been able to embrace his brothers. I think that him being able to be in love and married to his wife allowed him to feel the pain inside of him healed. Why do I say this? Because after I went through a very hard breakup, and I remember I was had an apostle, and she told me, "Bernice, the Lord is telling me to tell you to go get a prayer book for a wife. It's a prayer book for wives that pray for their husbands." And I've been praying through this book for 2 years now, I think 3 years now. And she told me, "God is telling me to tell you to go get that book." And literally, the moment I started to pray for my future husband, my heart set on fire. Literally, I felt fire, you know, in my ears, fire on my hands, my feet, my arms. I felt fire in a lot of places, but I've never in my life felt fire in my heart. And that was the Lord healing my heart. Literally healing my broken heart. And I believe that the Lord was strategic in healing Joseph before he met his previous enemies, which are the brothers, by causing him to fall in love and to be married. Because honestly, I don't think that Joseph would have been able to embrace his brothers like how he did if he was not married. I don't think so. Having companion, having somebody that understands you, that you can relate to. Now, I even don't think that Joseph trusted his wife very quickly because of what Potiphar's wife did. I think that in somebody like Joseph, you know, somebody who has to have a table set before them with their enemies, you're gonna think, are they gonna try and poison me, right? Joseph, I believe that Joseph, like many people, even for myself, we take a while to get close to people because of what people have done or said. Joseph, I believe, didn't just jump on and be like, "Oh yeah, get to know his wife." I think that he took slow steps to learn to trust. I think one of the Joseph's lessons in even getting married, maybe the Bible didn't say, but I believe that it was trust. You know, because Joseph had to learn how to trust, because everybody in his past have betrayed him. And even in his present, Potiphar's wife have lied on him. So he had to learn how to trust. I think that Joseph was probably an extrovert when he was in his father's house, but because of the things that have happened, he became an introvert. He probably just stuck to himself and just did his job when he came to prison, or to Potiphar's house, and just did what he was supposed to do, and got up and, you know, left, or, you know, didn't talk to much people. I think those type of experiences can change you. But then here comes something, a remedy that God wants to use to heal Joseph, so that Joseph can embrace his family. Joseph can lead many people. What happened was that God blessed him with a wife and children. And some people, that is what they need to be healed, is to have family for themselves, is to have their soulmate or somebody that they're like, yes, this person is right for me in this season, you know? Because there are seasons in life, right? I mean, think about it. The person that you dated in high school is not the person you want to date right now, right? Even the person you dated 5 years ago might not be the person you want to date right now. And so I believe that one of the remedy in my ears on fire, because the remedy, and even my hands, I've been feeling fire all through since Monday. Today's Tuesday. Since yesterday, last night, in class, I was just feeling fire all over me. But yeah, one of the remedy of God healing Joseph was the oil of gladness, the oil of joy, which is why he named his children those names, right? Those different names that, you know, God has blessed me in the place that I've had suffering, right? He named them strategically because that was his dedication to being able to have victory over what he went through in that land. And that was what God used. God used a wife and, you know, God used a spouse and children to literally heal him. Some people, it's the opposite. That when they actually have a spouse and children, they actually go through suffering, right? It says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." I love that part. I love that part because the oil of the Lord really heals, right? And it does, and I feel fire all over me, like from my hands to my arms, around my body, like my upper body. I feel fire. I've been feeling this fire since Monday night class. But today is the 19th of March. Since yesterday, I've been feeling fire over me. Even when I was at work, I just kept feeling this fire. But yeah, so the Lord is going to literally overflow you, your head, and run and cause your cup to run over. He will fill your horn with oil, right? He will fill your horn with oil. I remember when I got the card that got totaled. I don't know why I feel like today I'm just flowing with what the Lord is telling me to say, okay? I remember when I got my card that got totaled in August. That car was the car that I first bought with straight cash. I was so proud of myself because, you know, I wanted to bring a generational blessing into my family, because I've seen many people that I know in my family buy cars with loans. You know, they get a loan to buy a car, and they have to pay monthly pay, like $300 monthly or $200 monthly, you know. But I wanted to break that by buying a car with full payment. No down payment, no, you know, loan. My full payment. I paid that car in full. I felt like a big girl. I felt like, yes. I felt like a boss. I felt like a CEO, okay? Of a company. I felt good. I remember I was laying down. I had the money in my bank account, okay? And I was laying there, and I was like praying, "God, is this the car you want for me?" And I heard the Lord so clearly. He said, "Fill your horn and go." That was the Lord telling me. God is very, the way he's talked to me is very biblical. very biblical. Fill your horn and go and anoint this car, because this is the car I want for you in this season, right? In that season. And so what did I do? I filled my horn with oil by praying in it. And I got a lift, and I went to the car and I bought it full cash. I felt so good. I was like, generational blessing, a new generational blessing, right? Because I remember Apostle Stevenson, Matthew Stevenson, was talking about how it's good to plant generational blessings in your family. And so I was like, okay. So I did that. And I felt so good. Then it got totaled. But you know what? God had a great plan in store. And so his cup, your cup will overflow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy. Mercy, we don't deserve mercy. His mercies are new each and every day, right? Mercy, we don't deserve mercy. But God give us mercy. This Sunday, somebody saw me at a church, and they were like, oh, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, my name is Bernice. And she was like, oh, I want to call you Grace. I don't know why I want to call you Grace, but I want to call you Grace. She didn't know I kept seeing the number 5, because number 5 means grace, right? And prophetically. Mercy and grace are two different things. But God gave it to us. We don't deserve any of it, right? But God gave it to us. The Bible says that mercy triumph over judgment. Mercy triumph over judgment. When you have mercy in your heart, you don't judge people, because you're merciful, because you yourself think about what you have done that are wrong. Do you hear the laughs that are happening in the background? I think the Lord is literally doing prophetic act here about joy as I'm preaching. People are laughing behind my back, like behind in this other room. But you know, mercy triumph over judgment, because when you are merciful towards somebody, you don't judge them, because you think about your own. You put the mirror in your face and you say, you know what, I did this that was similar to what that person did. How dare I judge them, right? So mercy and goodness are new each and every day. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of your life, goodness and mercy. His kindness, his goodness, and then his mercy will follow you. It's following you. You don't have to chase it. It's after you. As long as you're a child of God, his goodness and his kindness and his mercy is following you wherever you go. All the days of your life, until the day that he calls you home to be with him in heaven, hopefully, in heaven, right? And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. It didn't say you will visit the house of the Lord. It didn't say you will come to Easter in the house of the Lord. Because, you know, there are some people that only come to the house of the Lord on Easter, Christmas, New Year, and their birthday to make their mother happy, right? I remember I was talking to this guy, and we were, you know, at the stage of getting to know each other. And I'm not somebody who go up to a man. I don't like to approach men. It's not something I like to do. I like them to come to me, you know. But anyway, he came up to me, and he wanted to talk to me, and he asked me for my number, and we were talking. And one thing I like to do with men is I like to see their spiritual strength. Of course, I can discern and prophetically see what God is doing in your life currently and all of that. My hand is on fire right now. But one thing is, I like to see where they are with God. And so I said, hey, I'm going to this church, you know, would you want to come to this church? And literally, he was like, yeah, let's go. The night before, he confirms, yeah, let's go. The morning of, I get ready. I'm waiting. I text him. Nothing. I'm like, okay. 30 minutes before church begins, nothing. Church began at that time. Church begins at 9:30. So I'm sitting there like, okay, either he's fallen asleep, he fell through his alarm or something. He texts me, he's like, oh, I fell asleep, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I didn't reply, because I don't reply to those things. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna drop you. I have a very little patience for men when they screw up. The first time, I'm gonna give you some leeway, but if you keep doing it, I'm just gonna walk away and let you just be. Anyway, so first time he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, all right, let's try. I'm like, okay, that's okay, whatever. I didn't text him all week. Then he replied and he's like, oh, are you still mad? I'm so sorry, I didn't take you to church. I apologize. I'm like, it's okay, let's try again next week. Next week came again. He could not come with me to church. He could not pick me up to go to church together. And I knew this is not somebody I want to spend my time with or my life with. Because if you cannot go to church with me on a Sunday, then I don't know what you're doing on the weekdays that I'm not around. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know what? I didn't reply to him. He texted me like, oh, hey, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. All this long message, excuses. I didn't reply to him for a week. And then after a week, I was like, hey, it's fine. You do you. I'll do me. And then I didn't text him back. And then he kept texting me and I just ignored him. He did not want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I need somebody who want to dwell there. Not just visit, not just come, but I want you to dwell. Like, when I say dwell, there's a difference between being in God's house and being in God's house. You know what I mean? Because I remember there's this apostle told me, like, when he's preaching, sometimes he'll be like, he'll be ministering and he'll release something and then he'll say, I feel a release happening in the room, or I feel God release something, you know, I feel the shift in the room. You can be in the house of the Lord and you'll be sitting there and you don't feel the shift that he's talking about because you don't know the presence of the Lord. There are times where people, you know, come to the Lord and then the Lord is like, you know, ministering to them like, oh, I feel God so strongly. And I'm like, I don't feel him yet. You know, there's levels in the atmosphere, right? Like, I don't feel him yet. And then there is a shift, a mighty shift. And you're like, yes, now his glory is here. Now his presence is here. That's what it means to dwell. Not just come to church every Sunday. People can come to church every Sunday. There are churches that are dead that people dwell at. It's not about dwelling physically. It's about dwelling spiritually. Can you feel the craziness in the presence of the Lord? Can you feel the craziness that's happening in the room? Everybody is probably sitting there quietly, but there is atmosphere things happening. I remember this Monday at church when I went to class, there was literally an angel near the podium. Well, not near the podium, but like near one of the stairs to the podium. There was an angel there. Not everybody is able to see that. And there are probably people in the room that saw it too. Right? But when I got there, as we were praying, and I was sitting down, just, you know, meditating and just being quiet before the Lord. And as the apostle came, and then he was starting to, like, you know, have us pray. And then I saw the angel come and literally stand at that, where I was standing, like at that stairs. I feel like crying, because whenever I feel the glory of God, I feel like crying. when the Bible says dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it means he wants to engage you in what he's doing in the atmosphere that nobody sees yet, or even that other people might see, right? there are times God does things in the room that many people might not feel happen. But of course, you know, the apostle on stage feel it, or they see or they sense it, right? And some of the intercessors and the prophets also, right? I remember one time I went to a young adult prayer night at a church that I was at, and as I was there, it was such a glory of the Lord in the room. I laid down flat and I got up, and the pastor was about starting to preach. The Lord was telling me about how he sent an angel, two angels, I believe, to break out Silas, right? Break Peter out of prison. And he was talking to me about the preacher that was preaching. It's like, he's being broken out. Like, there are two angels on his side, left, on his left and his right. I didn't see the angels, but he was telling me about it. And I was discerning, like, okay, yes, Lord. Sometimes you might not see it, but you might be able to discern. God might reference the Bible, something in the Bible to you. And my arm is on fire. God might reference something in the Bible to you to let you know, hey, I have angels here. You might not see them, because not everybody is a seer. Not everybody can see the realm of the Spirit, but he can speak to you in the Word of God. There are many times that the Lord will tell me about a situation, and he said, this is the situation that's happening right now. And that's why it's important for us to know the Word of God, right? Because God speaks through his Word. He does, right? And so I hope that you were encouraged in this moment. My desire is that I will get back to my joy, the joy that I had. And I am appreciative when God takes me through those journeys. Because, you know, you can go before the Lord and pray in tongues all you want, but that's not what he wanted to do in that moment. That's why I love spending time with the Lord in different times. Because he normally I pray during 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. But this time, today, he led me to pray around 10-something. And that's when I was praying. And I was like, and I had to let it all out. Because I had to leave work a little early. And I was like, now I know why God wanted me to leave work a little early to go, you know, weep before him about whatever issue it was. So I want you to know that if you've been weeping, feeling down, feeling oppressed, suppressed, depressed, and even he's showing me anxiety, God wants to encourage you today, just as he encouraged me. It's okay to encourage yourself, like in 1 Samuel 39 or 36. 1 Samuel 30, when he encouraged himself. It's okay to encourage yourself. It's okay to stand in the mirror and really speak well over yourself. Especially when people have been saying a lot of crazy things about you, it's good for you to speak good over yourself. If you have a leader in your life, they can speak good over you, because the leader in your life's voice is much stronger than the voices around you, right? So sometimes there are times where I would sit down and I'm like, God, what do you say about me concerning this part of my life? And I remember one time he told me, do not listen to what people say. That's not who you are. This is who I say you are. And that's my last encouragement to you. Do not listen to what people say. They don't even know you. They don't even say hi to you. They don't even come up to you and ask you, how are you doing? So they have no right to sit on the side with lack of mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Lack of mercy and lack of praying to the Lord and seeking his face on your behalf to even open your mouth and say anything about you. So hear what God says about you. And he says a lot in Psalms 23 about you. And that's who you are. And if you don't feel the love of God in Psalms 23, I pray that he will send somebody to prophesy on you, encourage you, and literally have you to feel encouraged help you to feel encouraged. God is highlighting to me right now, somebody in a relationship. The worst thing you can be is being in a relationship with somebody and you still feel alone. People think that getting in a relationship is gonna save them or gonna make them feel better or give them happiness or solve their issues. But if it's not God ordained, you're gonna feel lonelier than you ever felt, right? You're gonna feel more lonely. The worst thing is to be married or to be in a relationship and you feel lonely, like you don't feel like you are understood or, you know, all of that. So you might be somebody in a relationship and that's what you need encouragement about. You feel lonelier than you ever felt when you were by yourself, you know. And I just want to encourage you that you just read Psalms 23 over yourself, that your satisfaction comes from God, right? Our satisfaction comes from the Lord first, right? And I think that's what God was trying to teach Joseph, that his satisfaction comes from him first. Then later on, his wife is gonna give him satisfaction that he needed, because everybody need love. Everybody, if you've ever been in love, deeply in love, it's a great thing, it's an amazing thing, right? Everybody need love. Everybody needs family. Everybody needs children, right? And God saw it fit to bless Joseph with that, because he knew this is a season that Joseph needed that. God could have blessed Joseph with it when he first got to Potiphar's house. But he waited until he got betrayed. He waited until he got into prison to finally say, okay, now it's time for me to bless you with what you desire. I think that was Joseph's desire, was to have family in a place where he was a stranger. So Lord, I just pray into this. I thank you for just allowing me to flow. There are things that I shared on here that I didn't even know you were going to let me share. And that's a way that you're allowing me to come out of my little bubble that I'm in, being more open with my experiences. I pray for those that are lacking encouragement, that they will encourage themselves. Holy Spirit, be the paraclete to comfort them, to teach them, and to encourage them. I ask you, Lord, even to send your ministering angels to encourage me and encourage them as well, that their appetite will be for your word, that your word will nourish them and wash them and pour your oil upon them, that in the places that they're waiting for you to do something in their lives, that they will allow you to help them release the old so they can glean and really acquire the new. So I pray encouragement upon them, and I pray joy upon them, just as I'm rediscovering the joy of the Lord, the joy that you've given me, that I need to learn to walk in more, that you bless them with joy and any of the fruit of the Spirit that they're currently learning to have, because that's going to help them either in the next relationship that you want for them, or the next ministry, or the next assignment that you want for them. So I pray that they will be patient and diligent in you cultivating these things for them. And it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning into Devoted today. I hope that this blessed you, and I hope that you can share this with somebody. Have a blessed day and be encouraged. The Lord loves you. Bye.